You're listening to the brand new Iska Church podcast. Okay, hi there everyone. Welcome to the Iska Pod, the Iska Church podcast. My name is Rich. It's great to be with you today. And also together we have Susan. Hi there, Susan.
Hello there.
Hello there. Hi there, Laura, my wife downstairs.
Hey ho, let's go.
Boom. And hey there, tech guy Ian.
Hello.
Hey there, Ian. Ian, the tech guy, is feeling more chatty. So it's going to be in on the old chit-chat throughout the pod this time, feeling more conversational, which is just terrific.
Surprising after less than 3 hours of sleep.
Yes. God bless you, sir. Our friend Ian, we've prayed for him. He's not had enough sleep and works very hard. And such is his devotion to the pod that he is still chipping in with the chat and doing all things technical this time round. So first things first. We've had some feedback. Susan's accused it of being clickbait, which is right. And yes, we have been putting it out there for a bit of feedback. And we've had a couple of feedbacks, bits of feedback. One, a message of support from Sue. Hey there, Sue, if you're listening. And Sue is in support of Laura and also disgracefully reads the end of a book before starting it.
So, terrible.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
That's not on, is it?
Not on at all.
Laura.
I'm going to reveal something of a similar nature in a minute when we start on the What Have You Done Recently catching up.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Teaser. And then other feedback was unanimous support that when the words the pod will go on, I'm afraid it was unanimous support for Queen interpretation of that that line rather than the Celine Dion line. I'm sorry about that, Susan.
So, a couple of losses there. I'm going to have to get in something where I drum up some support for some random thing I do. That's the opposite of Laura.
if you're listening, you want to give some feedback, anything based on this evening's content that's in support of Susan would just give her a bit of a moral boost, a bit of a booster for the next couple of weeks.
Susan definitely has better hair. There you go, Susan.
Stop it.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So this is a momentous one in some respect in that it is Susan's last ever pod with us as a youth work trainee, which is a strange one. I feel both happy for you, Susan, that you come to the end of this time, and kind of sad that it's the end of a chapter after a brilliant couple of years. So, how are you feeling?
That exact feeling of mixed emotions. Excitement to be moving on and having a new adventure, but also a hefty amount of sadness about leaving Exeter and not being in close proximity to the people in Iska Church anymore. So yeah, that mix.
Yeah.
I mean, who are our children going to draw every Sunday morning, Susan?
I'm still going to crop up on a Sunday while it's online.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm willing to continue being drawn. That's great.
That's good. And so in honour, Susan, of your status changing, then this pod is somewhat devoted to you, because you're in a little while, you're providing a, may I say, quite thorough segment for us, travelling Exeter and chatting with local folk about different things. And then we're dedicating the close of our pod to you with a quiz all about Susans in the world.
The many, many Susans.
Yeah, so it was a challenge. I genuinely had to search in my internet search engine for famous Susans. And it turns out there aren't that many. So we have a quiz later on about Susan Sarandon, Susan Boyle.
Oh, yeah.
And to kind of stretch a bit, so I've gone for Sue Perkins.
Oh.
Not strictly a Susan, but a Sue.
Yeah, she's technically called Susan.
Yeah.
So. I do have to admit that I did sneak a peek into Susan's Teams folder, and the amount of things that loaded up, I was like, wow. And then I closed it again.
My individual little segments. Yeah, that's why I'm still editing it together. It will be nice and ready for this podcast coming out.
That's great. Easily. Yeah. So, last time we caught up on, or we talked about summer reading. And since that episode, Laura and I have been away to France and are now quarantined, imprisoned in our own home. We're 5 days through with that so far. Yes, small violin. It is a small violin. I have to say, being quarantined is pants, because we've not got to see anyone, including you, Susan, who we were going to invite to come round, and we were going to record this podcast live in the dining room. And instead, now we're doing this all through the medium of Zoom. And yeah, we just can't see people. So it is quite annoying. I have to say, I found it more annoying than I thought.
Oh, man.
Yeah, what can you do? So anyway, reading. How's everyone's reading getting on? Have you, we all kind of shared precocious reading lists and pretended to be intelligent. Moment of truth. Have we actually read any of these weighty tomes that we said we were going to read over the summer? Susan, have you read any of it?
Yes. Well, I finished the Screwtape Letters, which isn't very long. It was just, I was spacing it out quite a lot. So I did finish that. I mean, I finished the young adult murder mystery thing that I was reading, The Shadow in the North. That was good. But also, I think, actually, had I read it then? Or at least I was really about to finish it, because the sad thing had already happened and Laura would have hated it and the character dies at the end. Bad times. But I will go looking for the third one because I am committed.
So, Screwtape Letters... was that a kind of satisfactory read for you? Was that a kind of good read? C.S. Lewis kind of do his thing for you?
Yeah, it was great. Yes, he did. He gets every time. The chapters, each chapter has this little kind of arrow of truth, or at least a couple of them, and they all hit home. And then I like think about it for a few days. I got to admit, towards the end, I just sort of read through the last few chapters. So not so much there. I'd like to go over it again and make notes, because I didn't make notes the first time. But I will go back and do that.
I once spent an intense period of time reading a lot of C.S. Lewis when I was in France, not living with, but living alongside Barney Asprey, who is a former Iskaite and friend of the church. And he's a big fan of C.S. Lewis. And I read them all. And I just remember that feeling of like, I can't retain all of this, because there's so many little bits of truth that I need to kind of cram into my brain, that in the end, I think I've ended up forgetting most of it. So I feel like I need to read again. Reread all of his stuff again, because it is really good stuff.
I really recommend reading his diaries. So I read his diary from 1922 to 1927, and that's great. I really love that. In fact, I'd recommend it over other things, like the polished academic, he's worked on it properly things. Because when you read his diaries, you see all of that beginning to form, but he's not yet met God. And so you get these really cool insights just into his mind. And when you read his stuff later, you can see all the building blocks that were being put in and that came out later. And yet he's there like, I was forced to go to Margaret's confirmation today in church, and it was like watching a pig be slaughtered. And he hated it. Yeah, that's my favorite thing in it. Oh, it gave me so much life. With C.S. Lewis at like 27 or something, and he was like, I had one of these feelings today that all the best years are behind me and my life is going to amount to nothing and I'll never be a writer. And I was like, oh Clive, I love you right now.
Oh, first name terms. Yeah. Look at that.
Like, once you've read the diaries, you're basically best friends with good old, actually he's called Jack, his friends called him Jack, so good old Jack.
Ooh.
I've similarly got a book of his, it's not quite the same way, but it's a collection of his letters to people and contributions to the press. And like, there's a great letter in response to someone criticizing the contemporary standard of hymns and his kind of defense of the quality of hymns. And it's just such a random letter, but it is amazing how those kind of things actually can give you insight into someone's character and the way they think in a way that potentially they're more refined pieces of work can't, isn't it? So it's, yeah, that's cool.
Very show.
Laura, then, yes. What about you? I have been in your company, so I can testify at least you have the exterior of an intelligent looking book in front of you, even if there's actually a comic slipped there. So
I have genuinely thought about doing that, actually. not with comics, but I actually spent most of the time randomly. It just caught my attention, and it felt like the right moment to reread a book that I've read before by a guy called Richard Rohr, all about the Trinity and how our understanding of the relationships within the Trinity can inform the way that we think about everything, how we understand God and life and everything, called The Divine Dance. So I've reread that, and then I also did read that forensic book, which was really, really interesting. And I just kept putting it down every 5 minutes and going, did you know? Blah, 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 blah. Did you know that pollen can survive inside fossilized stone for millions of years? And then I carry on reading, and then 5 minutes later I go, did you know that bees are positively charged and pollen is negatively charged, so they attract each other by static electricity and other...
I don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. It was full of stuff like that. It was really, really interesting, way more interesting, and not just about the decomposition of bodies, which I also found interesting, but yeah, it was really good. Thank you.
Yeah, and I do feel even more nervous that Laura is now very equipped to murder me and get... So I managed to read all of Disraeli's book called Sybil, which I found just brilliant, and opened me up to life in Britain in the 19th century that I just really wasn't familiar with at all. And it was really amazing to learn about people's working conditions, and the politics of the time, and how people, the kind of landowners versus the greater populace, and all the politics that was going on around that. And there was romance in the end, and the last 75 pages were just brilliant as all these strands came together, and it was all a bit too idyllic and all ended up a bit too nicely, but it was really fantastic. Well, that's our summers. Looks like we've had a great time. We have successfully managed to read something and prove that at least seemingly we read what we say we read. So we're gonna have a break, and then after the break, Susan, do you want to say a bit about it, the next segment, because it's all about you, it's your piece on life in Exeter. So do you want to give us an intro? What are we listening to?
So the segment that's about to come up is us going on a journey, a little walk together around Exeter, around all the places that I've lived when I've lived in Exeter, and meeting up with the people I've lived with and talking to them about their favourite places in Exeter. So get your shoes on, because it's actually a lot of walking, because apparently I lived in every different, very far away place in Exeter that I could have done. So it was a long walk, but that's what's coming up.
Great. Okay, we'll be back after the break with that.
So we begin our walk across the city and our journey through the years I spent here in Exeter to the sound of a rumbling engine and the screech of brakes on the rails, because when I arrived here for my first year of university, I was placed into halls that were right next door to Exeter St David's train station. So I very quickly got used to the sound of overhead announcements coming through into my room and the blare of train horns at night. They very quickly became a familiar backdrop to my time here. And I loved it. I loved living here. I loved the sense of hustle and bustle that was happening just a stone's throw away from my window. And I think the only downside to living here was the fact that we were at the very bottom of all the hills that led up to campus. So anytime I wanted to go up to study and go into lectures in the library, I had to hold my breath as I passed by strangers so that they wouldn't hear me wheezing. That was, I think, the only downside, though. The rest of it was great, and the very best of all was that it was here that I met my two closest friends, who I highly suspect are my two closest friends for life, Bea and Paige. Of all the years, all the many years, it's just 6 years, but of all the years I've spent here and all the people I've known, it's probably Bea and Paige that I hold the most amount of memories of laughter and fun and friendship here in Exeter, because after our first year we then moved across the city into a house and continue to have a lovely time. And that is why they are the first people who I'm going to turn to ask what their favourite place in Exeter is.
There was a time where we went for a walk. I think it was in the summer, and I think it was third year. And there was just a patch of grass next to the river, and we just sat down and like kind of had a nap and read our books. It was just really nice.
You're joining one of our international Zoom calls. It's 2 p.m. for you, me and Paige, and it's 10 p.m. for Bea in South Korea.
And the sky was really blue, and it was just really peaceful after the craziness of all the exams and things from third year. But I would have to say, actually, I just remembered a place, the Impey.
The Impey might be
my favourite place.
I thought the Impey.
Well, we lived like, what, a minute away, 2 minutes away
first year.
In St David's. And we went so often in first year.
To be fair, we went quite a lot in second and third year.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. So a longer
we never
walk.
Actually stopped.
Mm.
And there is just, I have so many memories
of
in the MP. It was just the Wetherspoons, but because they're like the orangery.
Orangery?
The fancy conservatory end is like super fancy, but it is just the Wetherspoons.
Mm.
The window makes it.
Yeah.
Probably, well, one of my favourite places in Exeter. Sorry if I stole yours, Paige.
No, that was one of them. But I think the other one that I was thinking of, one of my favourite places, would be the Odeon. Because even though it's just an Odeon, like, we went there so much, especially in second and third year, because there we didn't live that anywhere that was close to us, that's where we went a lot. We went there. Quite often, and like I think that was the first place I had a tango ice blast, which beautiful. Oof. And like how special it was, because it was cheap for students, but then also you were still getting to go out to the cinema. It was just nice. Special shout out to The View though for that Valentine's Day where we went and watched Pride and Prejudice with zombies with like Valentine's chocolate boxes that we all bought ourselves.
For the next stop on our walk, we find ourselves in Heavitree Park and the heavens have opened. The rain is coming down, so you join me under this big umbrella. After I graduated, I moved home for a year and I spent some months volunteering in Nicaragua. And by the summer, I realised that I missed Exeter and I missed Isca Church, and I knew that I wanted to return. So I prayed to God about it, and I sent off a notice in the newsletter asking if anyone had a room, and I prayed that if God was behind me coming back to Exeter, then someone would have space for me. And the next day after the newsletter went out, Andy and Karina called me and offered me their lovely loft room in their house to come and stay. I think I ended up staying a little longer than they anticipated, but they're very generous and gracious, and I loved living here. I got a job at Sainsbury's Cafe, and I spent a lot of time thinking and writing and reflecting, probably too much time, but there we go. I'd look out of the window a lot, especially as I prayed, and on one side I could see all this vast sky, and on the other side I looked into Heavitree Park and I would see people walking and talking and playing. And my absolute favourite thing was watching the sunset through the trees, because as the light would come through and the wind would move the branches, it would make it look like lots of little twinkling stars, and that was beautiful. Now that our feet are nice and soggy, I think we should walk back to Andy and Karina's and join them in their nice warm kitchen.
So Andy, what would you say is your favourite place in Exeter?
Well, I think it's hard to choose what my favourite one place would be. I think I'd say there are probably three or four that I'd choose from. Depends a little bit what mood I'm in or what I'm interested in, but most of them begin with Saint. And now you can perhaps imagine that St. James's Park might feature in that. And that's where I go to watch a lot of football, obviously, next to City. And so that's one of my most frequently visited places. So mm-hmm. perhaps that counts as somewhere I really like in Exeter.
Uh-huh, absolutely. Is it just that football is played there? Is there anything about the atmosphere?
Well, we obviously enjoy the matches most of the time. Not always.
Always.
But there's something about being part of a big crowd that gives you a sense of common purpose. Even though really you're not that worried sometimes about the great outcomes. I think, being with others. I often share that experience with others. Also, we'll have the sense of getting to know those around us, because we're season ticket holders. We sit with those that we've now got to know, who sit in the same seats for every home game. And of course, why I say I like it now is that we're in lockdown and there are no crowds and we cannot go there. So that's making me miss it maybe a bit more at the moment.
Yeah. So where is your favourite place then?
Well, I've got a couple of favourite places. They're a bit different. One is outside going for a walk up near Pinhoe Church, and there's a little path, like a bridle path, and I really love it because it's high up and it looks over the city, and you can see as well as far as Sidmouth and the sea. And on a lovely day, it's really a great view. On a rainy day, well, you probably wouldn't go, but
You might do. We went on that walk, I think, together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you came with me. Yeah, well, yeah. It was great.
It was really lovely.
And so that's one place I like to go. The other place, I quite like going into town and going sort of and sitting on Cathedral Green with a coffee or something. Mm. And I like it because it's not very far from the shops, But B, I like Gandhi Street because there's this particular shop I like in Gandhi Street called Chococo.
Oh, yeah.
And I like the coffee and I like the little chocolates that come with it.
Anywhere in here. You get out of there.
Daddy lived in.
Oh, that was a very good hiding place.
Didn't know where that was.
Do you want to help me find Lucas?
Yeah. He's not working.
No.
Oh, now it does.
Ah! No! Found him!
I was trying to make a freaky
noise. Okay.
It was terrible. Should we go downstairs to Ruben's disco?
To take it.
We have trekked up from Heavertree to Beacon Heath, where we find ourselves in the most exclusive disco in Exeter, which can be found in the home of Mark, Gemma, and their three young children. And I moved into their home in August 2018. And around that same time, I decided to join SWIM, Southwest Youth Ministries, as a youth work trainee. And I did that placement at Iska Church, where I've been for the last 2 years. So my life completely changed, which was a little overwhelming at times, but brought a lot of good things with it. As a SWIM trainee, I had a lot of activities and events and groups of people that I was talking to and new things that I was learning. And then at home with Mark, Gemma and their children, I had a lot of fun and laughter and silliness. There was always someone to hug and chat with or mess around with. A lot of play fighting and Nerf gun wars and pretending to run away from bears and Saturday sweeties and new recipes tried at the weekend, which I rarely cooked but always enjoyed eating. And of course, a lot of music and some really great discos. But let's take a break from the dancing to sit down for lunch and find out what Mark and Gemma's favourite places in Exeter are.
So I'm struggling to figure out what is my favourite place, but generally I like tea shops.
Yes.
So places like Tea on the Green, or what's the one down 4th Street? The Hidden...
Oh, the Hidden Treasures?
The Hidden Treasures tea place, something yeah. like that. Yeah, because it's memories of having nice tea and cake with friends and with Mark, breakfast.
Mm. Lush.
So Tea in the Green brings back lots of memories because Mark and I went there for his birthday breakfast, but it was on a day where we thought Anya might arrive when I was pregnant with her. So.
Yeah, big memories. Lush. Mark, what would you say is your favourite place in Exeter?
My favourite place in Exeter is Ludwell Valley Park.
Okay, where's that?
Close to where I work, so behind Pines Hill, which is a place with lots of office buildings.
Mm-hmm. Why is that your favourite place?
Because, granted, things have changed recently, but normally I would go running through Ludwell Valley Park 2 or 3 times a week. And so I've seen it through all the seasons, on good days and bad days, when I'm feeling fit and strong, when I'm feeling a bit sore or weak, when I've had a good day at work, a bad day at work, and run through it with friends as well. So I've made lots of good memories there.
Yeah, it's like a big constant.
Yeah, and it's nature, it's green, trees, lots of trees that I've climbed. We see dragonflies there in late summer, early autumn. Yeah, I have associations with endorphins as well, you know, all the happy, the happy hormones that the body releases when exercising. So it's a good place for me.
Lush. What's your favourite season to see it in?
I enjoy the changeableness. I love that it changes. Probably springtime, when you can smell the life in the air, the new life that's coming and the growth that's coming, and it's not too hot and the sun's not too harsh. So I don't know whether I should say this, but I would often run shirtless and be very comfortable and not worry about skin cancer and just feel very free.
We've made our way down from Beacon Heath through Pinhoe and into Westclist, where we are taking a rest from our walking in the beautiful garden of Chris and Wendy and listening to the birds. Towards the beginning of summer, I began to feel that I needed a change, and Chris and Wendy stepped in and offered me a room in their lovely house, and I moved in at the beginning of June. Then it was mid-June that my dad died, and I think God knew that this summer I would need somewhere a little more out of the way to have some space and a little more quiet. So this became my last home in Exeter so far, and I've loved living here with Chris and Wendy and Paul and of course their dog Oscar. And I've enjoyed going for walks down country lanes and learning to cook on their aga, and just in general being thoroughly spoilt. So in a way it has been a lovely summer. Let's come in from the garden now, have a cuppa with Chris, Wendy and Paul, and find out what their favourite places in Exeter are.
So my favourite place in Exeter is a lovely place just behind Pinhoe Church. And I went there first one beautiful June evening, and we could see all the way down to Exmouth. Then we could look to the right and see Belvedere's Tower. And then in the other direction, you could see Woodbury and the trees at Woodbury Castle. Mm. And it was just so great being there. And I still love going because of the views and because Oscar loves it there too. One time we went and there were loads of pretty flowers and butterflies and bees. So somebody had planted wildflowers.
I also, having been there too to walk the dog, I know my favourite part of that place is that there's the two alpacas that live there as well.
Oh,
yeah, it was amazing.
That's brilliant.
And that was my favourite part of being up there. Was going, oh, look, alpacas.
So where's your favourite place, Chris?
My favourite place is down at Exeter Quay, mainly because it has a very interesting history and there's a lot going on down there. You've got the Custom House, and just in front of that there's a very interesting antique shop with lots of different items in it. But then
you mean trains, really?
It's got, don't well, you? It's got some train stuff there as well as other items. But you've also got an awful lot of water sports going on there, and it's great for starting off on the Exeter Canal and taking a kayak and going down the canal. In fact, I think one stage...
Go down the weir.
Did we go down the river and back up the canal? I know some people have done that. And I think I've only actually been along the canal part of it. But there's always a hustling, bustling area, and there's a lovely cafe called Welcome.
Oscar's just saying he likes that walk.
Oh, there we go. Oscar's joining in.
He does like that walk down by the quay.
It's also very good for doing walks with Oscar down there as well.
Yes. I've always liked wanted to rent out one of the pedal swans. So you know the ones? They've got little pedalos that are shaped like swans down there. And I always wanted to rent out one and just go and be with the swans and feel like I could be one of them.
Try and blend in.
Yeah, that's it. It's just camouflage being a part of it.
And where's your favourite place?
My favourite place, well, unlike yours both, mine is indoors in a nice old pub called the Old Firehouse in Exeter, which does the best pizzas like that I have had eating out anywhere, and very good value. So that always makes me happy.
Yeah, I've been there on work dues.
Yeah, it's like...
love the atmosphere.
It's atmospheric, like, good place to go with friends. Only downside is because it's so popular, like, I don't think I've ever been there and immediately got a table. It's like every time, just sort of wait, have one person on each floor with their phone ready to go. These guys look like they're leaving. They're at the end of their pizzas. They've been chatting away for ages. I think, you know, if we can just subtly hang out near them, they'll start to feel pressure to leave and we can get our seats in.
Yeah,
like an operation.
Yeah, that's it.
So for my favourite place in Exeter, or one of my favourite places, we find ourselves back where we started our journey. We've done a full loop and we have come back outside of Exeter St David's train station. And the train waved hello to us. And this is because when I first arrived here in Exeter as a prospective student, when I was visiting for an open day, I remember I got to the end of the day, I'd loved the campus, I'd really enjoyed the taster lectures, and I knew in my heart that this is where I wanted to come for university. And I ended the day and I was coming back onto the station platform and just looking around at everything. And I remember thinking, this is so new to me today. I've never been here before. And it's new and big and exciting, but one day, if I really do come here, this entire place will become familiar to me, because it will be where I kind of come to Exeter and leave it again on my visits home. And I still remember that feeling of being somewhere that was not yet familiar, thinking about how one day it could become so. And that is what happened. This became, in my first year, what felt like an extension of my home, and it continues to be a place that holds a lot of fond memories for me. I like to picture it as a movie montage, and I can see in my mind's eye the different clothes I've been wearing, the different things I've been carrying, the different people I've been with as I've stepped onto and off of this train platform. All the adventures that I had leaving Exeter and all the adventures that I had coming back to it. And it remains one of my favourite places in Exeter and will continue to do so. And I hope will be a place I come back to in the future with a sense of homecoming and familiarity when I come back to visit the people I know and love here and the city where I love to walk.
Okay, we're back. Thanks, Susan, for that brilliant piece. And yes, absolutely, we want you returning at St David's Station, coming back to us very soon, please. Make sure you do. I believe you want to throw this on to us now, so I'll kind of pass back to you, and I think you've got a question for us.
Absolutely. So I want to bring it into the studio now. I just did quotation marks in the air. So my question to you all now is, what's your favourite place in Exeter? Rich, what's your favourite place in Exeter, or one of your favourite places?
Okay. Well, I'm going to be, I'm afraid, super cheesy and romantic and cringy, because I'm going to say that I think it's May or Mary and Len Harris Memorial Chapel on the
I think it's just called the Mary Harris.
Mary Harris
Memorial Chapel.
Memorial Chapel at the University of Exeter, because that is where I spent many a time with my at that stage friend, then girlfriend, then, well, actually not so much as a fiance, but then got married to Laura at that chapel. And we used to sit on the steps of the chapel and have lunch together and have a lot of good memories of that setting. And also, I guess the flip side is also there, I don't know if they're even still there now, but were the chaplaincy rooms, which were where we met as Methang and I was the Methang president for a year. And I have a lot of mixed memories of that gathering. Lovely people, but funny times at times being together. But yeah, there was a mixed times there, but a great fun nonetheless. But yeah, certainly the chapel was a really great place where we spent a lot of time together.
Good favourite place.
Chapel. Which I didn't even think of, and now I feel bad.
Laura's now recalculating her favourite place, like, oh no!
Think of a romantic place.
Laura, what were you thinking of?
Well, actually, I was thinking, so I've got a really pants memory. I've got a really, really good short-term memory and an utterly rubbish long-term memory. So I just can't retain things very well for some reason. So I was actually going to say a place that I have only been once but really, really enjoyed, which was recently. I discovered a really lovely little cafe on 4th Street in Exeter, which lots of people probably already know about, called the Glorious Art House, which is just lush. And the lady who runs it is just lush. And they were so friendly and accommodating and amazing. And it's really colourful and there's art to look at. And it's totally inspired Ellie and myself. Yeah, so it's really inspired us anyway, like Mexican inspired decor or something. Yeah, and they had lovely vegan stuff and that was really nice. So that was kind of like a new discovery for me. But I guess apart from that, it would be places that we've done lots of just hanging out. So I always love the Quay. I know that's me and 90% of Exeter's population. Or it feels like that often, but when we used to live that side of the city, we used to go and just walk down there after work and stuff, and that's a really lovely place that has a bit of my heart, I suppose.
Lush. So far Rich and Aura have both said places that I also love being in and going to, and the Glorious Art House is amazing. Once we were there for someone's birthday and they heard it was her birthday and came and gave her free chocolate cake, and I was like, this is the place to be, like they're just the best.
They were so ridiculously generous that I left them the biggest tip I've ever left anywhere ever in my life.
Oh yeah. They're decent. Ian, I'm wondering what your favorite place is, or one of your favorite places.
Well, anyone that knows me knows that I absolutely love water. So Topsham Quayside for me.
Okay.
What specifically about it?
It's stunning. There's boats. The sun quite often sets over it, and the sun then, as it comes down, reflects off the water. So they're just, I get some fantastic photographs of it every now and then when I manage to get there. But water in general, I love water, so hence all the diving. And it's funny that you should mention the Glorious Art House, Laura, because a couple of days ago on my Facebook memories, it came up with the post that Vicky Carter had put up about doing a photograph display there.
Yeah.
By the way, when you said anyone who knows you knows that you love, I did not think it was going to be water that was what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say pubs, and then you were going to tell us about your favourite pub.
Funnily enough, my Topsham Quayside is the Lighter Inn, so.
Yeah, which is a nice pub.
These all gorgeous places that we've said. I feel like we should get the Glorious Art House to sponsor us in some way.
Yes.
Let's talk to...
Go round for sandwiches. Yes.
Well, I've already told her that I am going to look up Bunyip and run over there and get lunch whenever I'm working at Bunyip and forget my lunch, because why wouldn't I do that? So I could chat to her about a little sponsorship deal.
We've got to stop. That's been great to talk favorite places. I'm so grateful that you've done that segment, Susan, and we'll take a break before we close off with our last part, which is a quiz about Susans of the world. Okay, we are back. It is part three. This part is going on our YouTube channel, and Susan has chosen to wear the funkiest glasses known to man, and our Laura is wearing ridiculous headphones as well. So we are in our final part together, and this round is in honor of our esteemed co-host Susan, and it's a quiz all about Susans of the world. We have got three questions on Susan Sarandon. We've got three questions on Susan Boyle. And because I could find no other famous Susans, we're getting three questions on Sue Perkins. So that's where we're going. We are all ready. So let's get straight to it. And we've got nine questions. Here's your question one. Susan Sarandon was born in 1946. She's best known for her film career in the 80s, 90s and noughties, but she's also a political activist and appeared on many TV shows. Which of these shows did she not appear on? So which of these did she not appear on? A, Friends, B, Cheers, or C, Malcolm in the Middle? So I'm going to you first, Laura.
I've had a little time to think about it, and I think I'm going to go with C.
Okay.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Laura's saying she didn't appear on Malcolm in the Middle. Ian, where are you headed?
I'm going for B, Cheers.
Cheers. Ian's going Cheers. Susan, where are you headed?
I'm actually going A, Friends.
Okay. You're going A, Friends. I can tell you that the answer is that she's never appeared on Cheers. She had appearances in Friends and in Malcolm in the Middle. So there we go. First point to Ian, 1-0. Question two. Susan Sarandon was famously in the film Thelma and Louise. But which year did that film come out? 1985, 1988, or 1991? So which year did the film Thelma and Louise come out? 85, 88, or 91? I'm going to you first, Ian.
I'm going to go 1985.
85 for Ian. Susan?
I'm going 88.
88 for Susan. And Laura?
I'm going to go 88 as well.
I can tell you, you are all wrong.
Darn it!
91.
What?
91.
Oh.
Believe that. Thelma and Louise in 1991. There you go. All right. Question three. Susan Sarandon has actually been involved, I found this out today, in a hip-hop storytelling, participating in a short biopic of a famous rapper. So she has actually been in a biopic telling a story of a famous rapper. Was she in A film about Kanye West, simply called Ye? Was she in B, famous film about Jay-Z entitled Legacy? Or was she in C, a film about Chance the Rapper entitled Take a Chance on Me? So was it A, a film about Kanye West, B, a film about Jay-Z, or C, a film about Chance the Rapper? I'm going to Susan first.
I'm going B, Jay-Z.
BJZ. All right. Laura, where are you headed?
Well, I'm going BJZ as well. And I feel like Susan is like psychically copying me.
Okay. And Ian, where are you headed?
A, Kanye West.
Kanye West. I can tell you, Susan and Laura, you are on the boards with a point each for Jay-Z. She's been involved in a 10-minute biopic of some description with Jay-Z called Legacy. All right, that's our Susan Sarandon done. We're moving on from Susan Sarandon, and now we're on to Susan Boyle. Susan Boyle. So Susan M. Boyle is a famous singer from Scotland. But what does the M stand for? Mary, Martha, or Magdalene? Susan M. Boyle. Is it Mary, Martha, or Magdalene? I'm going to you first, Laura.
I am going to choose the name of a beloved youth worker and say Martha.
Ah, lovely. Wonderful. Martha Hancock. Ian, what about you?
I'm going to go Magdalene.
Okay. And Susan?
I'm also going to go Magdalene.
There you go. You are right. Her middle name is Magdalene. I did not know that.
Yay!
A bit quirky, but there we go. Right, 2 points for Ian and Susan. Both Laura lagging behind with 1 point. Question 5. Susan Boyle rose to fame after singing which famous Les Mis song on Britain's Got Talent? No options for this one. Which famous song did she sing on Britain's Got Talent from Les Miserables? I'm going to you first, Ian. Do you know any?
I have seen it once in the cinema when the film came out. And the only song I can remember from it was Bring Him Home, which I'm pretty sure was sung by a man. So,
Okay. Susan, where are you headed?
It's I Dreamed a Dream.
Okay. Laura, what do you think?
I was going to go for, I couldn't remember whether that's the title of the actual song, but I would say that's the one she would have sung. So yeah, I Dreamed a Dream.
That is truly awful. Last question about Susan Boyle.
You didn't say he was right.
Oh, I Dreamed a Dream is right. Yes.
Yay. I remember her doing it.
Though kind of minus 5 points for truly dreadful renditions of such a wonderful song.
Excuse me.
Sorry about that.
I mean, frankly, did you hear Russell Crowe singing?
Oh, Russell Crowe.
Right, last question on Susan Boyle. Susan Boyle has actually cracked out a fair few albums, and her latest release is in 2009. But what was it called? Was it called 9, 10, or 19? So 9, 10, or 19. I'm going to you first, Susan.
I'm going to say 10. I don't know.
10 for Susan. Laura?
She's stealing my answers again. I was going to say 10. I'm just going with it. I'm going with my instinct and saying 10.
Don't try to mask the way you're just copying me every time, Laura. Honestly.
And Ian?
I'll go for 9.
9 for Ian. Once again, Laura, Susan are right. The album is called 10. I don't know why she hasn't numbered any of her other albums that way, but she has in that instance. Okay, 6 questions round. That's down. That's 2 parts of the quiz down. Laura's on 3. Susan's on 4. Ian's on 2. We're now all about Sue Perkins. So Sue Perkins, first one on Sue Perkins. She is a famous broadcaster, comedian, presenter, actress, and writer. She's born in 1969 and spent her early years growing up in which part of Greater London? Leatherhead, Tooting, or Croydon? Where did she grow up? Leatherhead, Tooting, or Croydon? I'm going to you first, Laura.
I'm going to say Leatherhead, which also sounds like a type of turtle.
Leatherhead for Laura. Ian?
Croydon for me.
Croydon for Ian and Susan.
So I have read her autobiography and I hope it's right that it's Croydon, because I think it is.
Okay. Croydon from Susan. Ian and Susan, you are right. It is indeed correct. She grew up in Croydon. Susan coming out in front. She's nearly made it for the win. Just needs one more out of the final two.
Global telepathy.
come a bit closer to the microphone. For some reason, you've gone a bit quieter, Susan. There you go.
Laptop. Now that I've gone to my personal laptop, I don't think the microphone picks up as well.
Oh, you're fine. You've been fine all the way through. It's only now. All right. Question 8. Sue Perkins started her TV career with co-host Mel Giedroyc. Giedroyc? I can't get that right. Mel Giedroyc on which daytime TV show? I'm not giving you any options here, but which daytime TV show did she start with Mel? See if any of you can get this. We were all kind of scratching our heads. I thought this was kind of straightforward.
Well, I can think of one show that they did together, but I don't know whether that's what you're thinking of.
Okay, well, let's see. So I'm going to Ian first.
I don't watch any daytime TV, and I honestly have no idea who she is, so...
The Bake Off. She used to do the Bake Off.
No, never watched it.
What? You've never watched the Bake Off?
No, never watched it.
This is criminal. Susan, I'm going to you next.
Say Bake Off, but it's wrong.
And Laura.
I think they did a show that was just called Mel and Sue.
Oh, no, it was actually called Light Lunch.
Never heard of that. Lunch. I'm sorry, I'm still reeling from Ian's revelation there. I genuinely don't think he should have British citizenship.
You're missing out on a lot of joy, Ian. You should definitely give Bake Off a whirl.
Yeah, yeah. All right, last question. Sue Perkins presented her final season of The Great British Bake Off in 2016. But who won the competition that year? So again, this is going to be a nice guess for you, Ian. Was it Candice Brown, Richard Burr, or Nadia Hussein? Who won the Bake Off in 2016? Candice Brown, Richard Burr, or Nadia Hussein? I am going to Susan first.
It was Nadia.
Laura.
It was Nadia Hussein, I believe.
And then Ian?
Well, it would be rude not to follow the crowd, so I'm going to go for Nadia as well.
And it's wrong! It's Candice Brown!
Was it a different year?
Yes, Nadia Hussein, I think it was the year before. She was 2015, I think.
No!
I've never even heard of Candice Brown? Are you sure that's not made up?
Candice was the one with the lipstick. I didn't think she'd won, though. I thought she was runner-up.
All right, that is the end of the quiz, and I can confirm, as should rightly be the case, congratulations, Susan. You are the winner of the quiz. All about Susan's.
Well done, Susan!
I never thought I'd get to this point, and I'm honestly, I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much.
That's...
Would you like to thank your mum, your guinea pig, your agent?
I'd like to thank my arms for always being by my side, my legs for always supporting me, and my fingers, because I can always count on them.
Oh, amazing! Amazing! Susan!
Yeah, well
done. Cut to the credits right there.
Wow. How do you follow that?
You just cut to music.
That's great. Right. Well, on that bombshell, we do have to draw the episode to a close. So it's been a fun episode. We honour you and appreciate you, Susan. And we're so glad that, yes, you are finishing. In 2 hours, you are released from service to Isca Church, I guess. Oh, well, actually, maybe it's the 31st of August, officially Bank Holiday Monday. But nonetheless, you're sticking with the pod, and we're so glad about that. And it's been fun celebrating you. So without further ado, it's goodbye from Laura.
Toodle pip.
It's goodbye from Susan.
Goodbye, goodbye.
It's goodbye from Ian.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. We'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the Isca Church podcast. To give us feedback, say hi, or send in your comments, just email us at pod@iscachurch.org.uk. Or just search for us on Instagram or Facebook. Just search Isca Church. Thanks for listening.